just start recording.
Yeah, whenever you're ready, just start recording.
Okay, well, you know what? I am recording. Yes. And, yeah, I got nothing really funny to start off with. So, hello! Welcome to Supernatural Selection. I'm your host, Kevin. With me this week is Mike the Skeptic. Mike, how are you today?
I'm okay. Could be better, could be worse.
Yeah, as you can tell, we are currently sans David. He is out ill this week, so it is me and Mike flying solo with The Weekend Weird.
Yes.
And Mike, if you'd like, I can start off here in a second. But
sure.
Before we do, housekeeping. Head to supernatpod.rocks/zines. We are still taking, submissions for the zine. I keep trying to say donations. I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing yet. But head to supernatpod.rocks/zines for all the information about that. We are taking stories and drawings of cryptids. So, you know, get them in before the end of May. But the information should be on the website. Also, before we get started, I would like to thank two bookstores. I want to thank Novel, which is attached to the Memphis Library in Memphis, Tennessee, and Burke's Books, which is also in Memphis. They've been around for like 140 years. And I got some really great books from both of those places, one of which had the original receipt in it. Mike, you saw this thing.
Yes.
It is a receipt from Walden Bookstore, number 418. This is before it was Walden Books. And it's from December 27th, 1973, for 78 cents. It was a book about Edgar Cayce. So that's a little hint at what we're going to be talking about sometime in the future. And also, I got The Day After Roswell, because it's funny, we've been going for like going on 4 years, and we've not covered Roswell yet. And I wanted to read like the primary sources. And Mike, you can back me up. It was a bit of a shock to open that book and find the foreword was by fucking Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, no, that's a weird one.
Yeah, the American Lich.
Yes.
Yeah, for those who are too young to know, Strom Thurmond was elected in 1954 to the Senate and didn't leave office till he fucking died sometime in the 2010s, I think. He is notorious for having filibustered against the Civil Rights Bill and basically was super fucking racist from North Carolina and inadvertently ruined Senator Trent Lott's career here in Mississippi because Trent Lott was at a party and said, man, it would have been great if you had been elected president. And everybody's like, the fuck what? So, yeah, he's gone. Anyway, I'm glad the fucker's dead. Could cut him up with a coat hanger like a turd. Anyway, again, it's The Weekend Weird. And I'm going to go ahead and start, Mike.
Okay.
Now, this article is actually 3 years old, and the reason I'm reading it is because it has cycled back into TikTok, this conspiracy, and I'm going to read the article title, and I want you to tell me if you've ever heard of this. This is by Rhiannon and Lucy Coslett from TheGuardian.com. Article is, Helen Keller, why is a TikTok conspiracy theory undermining her story?
Okay.
Despite her record as a writer and activist, what may have begun as a joke has gained traction and should make us ask questions that go beyond the credulity of Gen Z.
God, is this another one of those starts off as a joke things like the flat earth?
Or the birds aren't real thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. So, again, 3 years old, but relevant. When the internet is riddled with conspiracy theories, it can be difficult to decide which to worry about. While QAnon and Pizzagate are proving themselves to have radicalizing potential with real-world repercussions, others are flourishing beneath the radar, or certainly going unnoticed by anyone over the age of 25. What I mean to say is, teenagers on TikTok doubt the existence of Helen Keller.
What?
Yeah, Mike. I was on TikTok and I discovered these conspiracy theories that Helen Keller did not exist.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at a photo of her, so it's her like touching Eisenhower's face. I'm like, that's kind of hard to fake. I mean, I guess not these days, but you know. Anyway, article continues. I know, I had to read that sentence a few times too. How could Keller's existence be up for debate? There is extant film footage of the author, activist, and disability rights advocate, who became deafblind after a childhood illness, learned to communicate using hand gestures and to understand others through the Tadoma method, and learned how to speak. She attended Harvard, wrote 12 books, and many more essays and lectures. Her autobiography was adapted for film and stage. She traveled the world campaigning for civil rights, labor rights, and women's suffrage. Her book on socialism was burned by the Nazis. She died in 1968. Her birthplace is now a museum. But none of that seems to matter.
Nope.
Screenwriter Daniel Kunkka. Oh, that's an unfortunate name. Anyway, screenwriter Daniel Kunkka, who came across the conspiracy theory when speaking to his teenage nephews and nieces, said they and other proponents don't doubt the existence of Helen Keller the woman, but the fact that she was both deaf and blind, yet still able to write books. Now, the current one says she didn't even fucking exist, so this is a little different, but still relevant. Setting aside the offensiveness of this assumption for a moment, the conspiracy seems to have started as a joke. Anyone who has met a member of Gen Z knows that they are creatures of the internet, and as such, have an almost awe-inspiring grasp of irony. They are walking examples of what has come to be called context collapse. And yet, it does seem that some teenagers do doubt Keller's achievements, or, in some cases, that she was disabled at all. Some of the videos have been removed, with TikTok telling Newsweek that any post that, quote, dehumanizes others on the basis of a disability is a violation of our community guidelines. But others remain up. Does it stem from our own insecurities? Could it be that a blind, deaf woman with more success in life than all of us is too much to grasp? Possibly, writes one young woman at Medium, with such extraordinary solipsism that this correspondent had to take a moment. It continues on, but like, yeah, this is a conspiracy that's come back around, the whole Helen Keller fucking conspiracy. This blows my mind.
This is pants on head right here.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? The conspiracy that Stevie Wonder is not blind.
What?
You haven't heard about this?
No, this is also dumb.
Okay. Now, you remember the George, I think it was at the George Harrison,
Is this people that just can't believe that disabled people can do things?
With Helen Keller, yes.
Do they not realize that people that play the piano don't actually look at their hands when they're playing the piano?
Yeah, I mean, Beethoven composed most of his stuff deaf.
Well, of course he wasn't actually deaf either.
Functionally deaf.
Well, no, I'm saying
right, yes.
But no, I mean, when you play, make sure you look at your fingers to learn, but eventually, it's just like typing on a keyboard. I can't touch type, but you can.
Yeah, no, touch typing became easy because of practice.
And so, if you can play a keyboard without looking at it, why is it so hard to believe you could just play the keyboard, or play piano or whatever, but why do they think a blind person can't do that?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about the reason they think Stevie Wonder isn't blind.
Yeah.
And I've got a thought on this. is there is video of him at a performance. I don't remember which one. I almost want to say it's that tribute to George Harrison where Prince, like, ruined guitar playing for everyone else for the rest of humanity and threw his guitar in the air and we're still waiting for it to come down.
Yeah.
Okay, so Stevie Wonder's singing and somebody else is up there singing and they knock the mic stand over with their guitar.
Yeah.
And Stevie Wonder reached out, grabbed it, and straightened it.
Well,
which my thing is, functionally blind doesn't mean the brain's not receiving input. And he may have subconsciously done it, but he can't consciously see, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not so much a conscious thing. He might have been legally blind, but not, you know, 100% sees nothing.
Right, right, right. And that's a thing. There are many layers of blind and deaf.
Yeah, like, you know, you can be blind enough you need a cane, mm-hmm. but still actually able to see light and, you know, certain, you know, shapes.
Yeah,
you just don't see a lot of detail.
Like that fella that comes in the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a stick, but, like, he can see enough to get around.
Especially in the daytime.
Yeah, during the day. Oh, at night, he is holding on to his friend's shoulders, which, good on him for that. But, like, this conspiracy is just straight up, like, especially the new version where, no, she didn't exist. Which, you know me, I hate TikTok. And then once they said they were going to ban it, I was like, ooh, let me get on TikTok. And the first thing that pops up is Helen Keller didn't exist. And I'm like, ban it. Fucking ban it. I was just like, this is worthless. Why would you even have a platform that allows this? But, like, give me some feedback here. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think this is just people not being able to realize that disabled people could, you know, function with their handicaps.
Yeah, yeah. It's offensive.
Yeah,
I mean, pretty fucking offensive.
There's plenty of stories of people, you know, and just, you know, being able to do things that, like, I don't know, it's just pants on, like I said before, it's pants on head. It's just,
and aggravating. Stupid.
I think these are just people that, you know, want to probably started off as someone shit posting and then some dumbass, literal dumbass, you know, read it and was like, you know, they're right. Why?
Yeah,
I don't see how Helen Keller could have, like, rewrote things when she was deaf and blind, not realizing that, you know, she wasn't born that way. She became that way in her, you know,
childhood.
Yeah. So she still knew the English language. I could understand if someone was born deaf and blind.
Yeah,
there would definitely be a major barrier to learning any language.
Yeah.
But someone that already knew the language becoming deaf and blind,
mm-hmm.
there can be ways to, like, figure out. And there's going to be, like, obviously years, maybe
yeah,
even a
yeah,
decade.
Yeah, no, it took ages for her to learn it, but yeah.
Of, you know, overcoming, you know, starting simple and learning how to communicate with people again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, especially if you don't know something like, say, Morse code or anything, you're just trying to, you know,
yeah.
pigeon out a... not pigeon the bird, but pigeon, you know, as in language.
Yes.
Out a system of communication
mm-hmm.
that's not, you know, normal, whatever her native language. What nationality was she? She's English? She,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she spoke English. Okay. I think she is here in America, but I don't remember offhand.
Her nationality.
I'll look that up while you continue.
But, It's just, yeah, I think it's just a lack of imagination on the part of the people who are doubting it. They just can't see something like that being possible.
Alabama.
Wow. So I did not expect that.
It's funny. She didn't sound like she...
she didn't have a southern drawl.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when we found out Stephen Hawking was British when we were young. You're like, he doesn't sound Brit. I'm going to shut up.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I don't know. It's...
Hoo boy.
It's just dumb.
It's dumb as hell. I mean, and there's a lot of conspiracies going around, like the one about what's Kate Beckinsale? Like,
oh yeah,
they think she's dead.
Yeah, that they're thinking that, you know, they're all these recent pictures. It's the fucking Royals. Of course, every photo they release is going to be retouched to hell and back.
Oh yeah, obviously. It's
like any.
Unless it was Prince Philip, because that man was just a walking corpse.
Well, yeah, but they're still gonna, retouch any, thing that
gross or anatomical problems. Yeah.
So it also comes down to the social media echo chamber and algorithm reinforcing your echo chambers.
Oh yeah, no, and that's the thing, the whole living in a bubble thing will fuck your brain.
And the bad thing is that, you know, these people aren't doing it on purpose a lot of times. It's just the algorithm says you like things about this stuff, so here's more stuff about it.
Yeah.
And so you start thinking, well, hell, there's all this stuff about it, so obviously it's true.
Why would they have all this if it weren't? Yeah. Which is, well, because clicks.
Yeah, because they want to capture your eyeballs for 5 seconds longer than they did last time.
Oh yeah, so I'm not gonna lie. The Meghan Markle, Kate Beckinsale stuff. I has actually made me stop and go, But I'm not a big do your own research guy, which I feel like.
You mean you don't like doing your own research?
It's not that well. According to some of the listeners, I don't, but...
Yeah, you're not a, you go do your own... I'm not going to tell you anything, you do your own research.
I'm not one of those, don't believe the science, do your own research, because there's a YouTube video about the Earth is flat in an ice ball. So, yeah, I'm not a big proponent of that, but, like, you should be able to read shit, but, like, don't be dumb.
Well, so here's a problem too with all this stuff is that these people they have a bias already.
Oh yeah.
Because when they do, if they did a Google search on, any of these subjects, they would get 99% of the content saying, this isn't true, and only 1% that says it's true, and for some reason they gravitate to that 1%.
Like, oh, of course.
Oh, this speaks to me. This is the actual truth. Yep. It's like, well, why? Why? If I wanted to know the molecular weight of molybdenum, and I did a Google search and I found 99 results that said, it is X.
Yeah.
And I found one that was wrong.
And you latch onto one.
Like, so all these other ones are obviously lies because this one is daring to tell the truth.
Yeah, no, it's not how it works. But no. I was fascinated by the fact that as a species, we've always been that stupid, but like it is way out there for you to see now.
Yeah.
So, well, that's my first story. Now that we're good and depressed, Mike, what have you got?
So, here's a interesting proposal.
Mike, I'm already in a relationship.
No, not I'm not proposing to you. It's an interesting proposal. Okay. From a Canadian physicist who is
what's he talking about?
Yes, poutine. And he's claiming that the universe has no dark matter and is twice as old as we thought.
Okay, first off.
Yeah.
That's kind of a standout opinion these days. And secondly, that appeals to me because I just hate the concept of dark matter.
So placeholder. It is a just kind of a, well, this is what we think, or not even think. This is what so far the evidence shows.
This is a term we're plugging into the math.
Yeah. It is a variable, what we call in the math.
It's the X in an algebra problem.
Yeah. It's to balance the books, we thought, you know, there was this, but maybe not. But this okay. is only a physicist, one physicist. There's not, you know,
it's not it been peer reviewed.
Yeah. So we'll see how it shakes out. But so here's the I've not heard of sciencealert.com. They could be crackpot.
That sounds familiar, and I'm going to have to look that up, but go ahead.
They seem to have other legit stories, so we'll see how it goes. Sound waves fossilized in the maps of galaxies across the universe could be interpreted as signs of a Big Bang that took place 13 billion years earlier than current models suggests. Last year, theoretical physicist Rajendra Gupta from the University of Ottawa in Canada published a rather extraordinary proposal that the universe's currently accepted age is a trick of the light, that one that masks its truly ancient state while also riddling us with the need to explain hidden forces. Gupta's latest analysis suggests oscillations from the earliest moments in time preserved in large-scale cosmic structures support his claim. Quote, the study's findings confirm that our previous work about the age of the universe being 26.7 billion years has allowed us to discover that the universe does not require dark matter to exist, says Gupta. Quote, in standard cosmology, the accelerated expansion of the universe is said to be caused by dark energy, but is in fact due to the weakening forces of nature as it expands, not
because
due
it's
to dark
because
energy.
It's older.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah,
so we've got his theories. We've got the time scale wrong.
Yeah.
For okay. All right. I could see that.
Yeah, because you know, for the universe to be as old as other bits point to, you have to come up with a explanation for why it's, you know, accelerating more than right. You know, the model would suggest.
Okay.
Rewind currently accepted models of accelerating expansion, and the emptiness of space stops being very empty about 13.7 billion years ago, with every fleck of material in the universe confined to a volume you could now fit into your top pocket with room to spare. That'd be very uncomfortable.
Indeed.
Have a whole universe in your... I don't wear shirts with pockets, but, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they mean pants pockets.
Maybe.
This was all fine and dandy until measures of what are thought to be freshly baked galaxies revealed a universe that appeared surprisingly mature for massive cosmic objects not even a billion years out of the oven. This leaves astronomers with a dilemma. Either existing models of the evolution of galaxies and black holes need adjusting, or the universe has, in fact, been around a lot longer than we think.
Now, I'm not a scientistician, but this does appeal to me because I never could really, I don't know. I don't like the idea of dark matter just seems messy to me.
So, yeah, it is a very unfortunate, it's just a very non-elegant thing because it's something, yeah, here's this thing, it has mass, but we can't measure it,
we can't
find
it,
see it, touch it, smell
and
eat it.
And it repels things instead of attracting it. Yeah.
So no, that's dark energy.
Oh, my bad. I get them mixed up.
Yeah, dark matter acts exactly like regular matter.
Oh, right. That's right. That's right.
Dark energy is the opposite.
See, I'm reading this book called Dark Matter Monsters, and it talks about this stuff, but it's also intensely stupid, so it mixes me up a bit. And real quick, I looked up the website, Science Alert. It's relatively legit. They just have been accused of sensationalist headlines and sexism and stuff. But like as far as the articles go, it's all aggregated from actual science journals and papers.
The unfortunately normal web news cycle stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But as far as material goes, it's legit.
Yeah, it doesn't make up whole cloth things.
It's not the Guardian UK or like the Sun. It's not the Sun. Yeah. So
okay, let me find out where I was again.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, no, this is discussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry for the lack of jokes, guys. Me and Mike get into like real philosophical discussions and shit. So,
current cosmological models make the reasonable assumption that certain forces governing the interaction of particles have remained constant throughout time. Gupta challenges a specific example of this coupling constant.
Man.
Yeah.
That you come up with different words.
Asking how it might affect the spread of space over exhaustingly long periods of time. It's hard enough for any novel hypothesis to survive the intense scrutiny of the scientific community, but Gupta's suggestion isn't even entirely new. It's loosely based on an idea that was shown the door nearly a century ago.
Uh-oh.
In the late 1920s, Swiss physicist Fritz Zwicky...
Oh my God.
Yeah. wondered if the reddened light of far distant objects was a result of lost energy, like a marathon runner exhausted by a long journey across the eons of space.
Okay.
His, quote, tired light hypothesis was in competition to the now accepted theory that light's red-shifted frequency is due to the cumulative expansion of space-time tugging as light waves... Let me try that again.
Okay.
Cumulative expansion of space tugging at light waves like a stretched spring.
You know, I wish there were more scientists with names like Steve Johnson.
Yeah.
Just so we can pronounce them.
So,
just saying.
So, yeah. So, that's part of the crux is that the current, you know, the red shift of galaxies makes us speculate that they are closer... Or not closer. Yeah, no. I'm trying to think of how to wrap my brain around that. That they're further away than they should be given the age of the universe.
The understood age of the universe versus their theory that it's a longer time frame. No, I understand.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Yeah, the consequences of Gupta's version of the tired light hypothesis, what is referred to as covarying coupling constant tired light.
Please tell me those are C's and not K's.
Yes, they are.
Okay, good.
CCC plus TL.
I take that sometimes for my bone density.
Would affect the universe expansion, doing away with the mysterious pushing forces of dark energy and the blaming changing interactions between known particles for the increased stretching of space.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Did you have a thing?
Yeah. No, I'll bring it up at the end of the article.
To replace existing models with triple C plus TL... Gupta would need to convince cosmologists his model does a better job of explaining what we see at large. His latest paper attempts to do that by using, I'm going to keep having to say CCC plus TL to explain fluctuations in the spread of visible matter across space caused by sound waves in a newborn universe and the glow of ancient dawn known as the cosmic microwave background.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. While his analysis concludes his hybrid tired light theory can play nicely with certain features of the universe's residual echoes of light and sound, it does so only if we also ditch the idea that dark matter is also a thing. Well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with that, but, you know, I also don't have the math to argue one way or the other.
Of course, having no need to explain the origins of dark matter or dark energy would make physics a little easier in some respects.
Mm-hmm.
Whether CC's pizza plus TL is up to the task of turning cosmology on its head will depend on whether it can solve more problems than it creates.
Did you fucking say CC's pizza?
Yes.
You motherfucker. Now I want CC's pizza real bad.
Yeah, I miss pizza buffets.
Yeah, man. Those were great.
For now, our universe remains 13.7 billion years young, even if it has a few curious skeletons in its closet.
Oh, it's a murderer. Yep. Now, this is all great, Mike, but of course, we all know that this is all bullshit because the universe is actually run on electricity. Remember? Wait, remember the electric universe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all run on electricity. Stars are light bulbs with people living on them. God lives on the sun.
The expansion of the universe is just a treadmill?
Probably. I don't think they ever... They probably argue that the universe isn't expanding because, you know, Helen Keller.
I read some Highland stories once where, like, public transit were basically just giant treadmills, except just scale that up even more to, like, just the universe.
The universe on a treadmill?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, that's interesting. And, again, I like the idea of no dark matter. Just because
it's kind of dumb. I mean,
I'm sure to scientists it makes perfect sense, well, but like
it makes sense in the way, like you said, like we said, it balances the equation. But when you balance an equation, like, so think of it this way. Say you have one of those old timey balance scales, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a feather on one and, you know, a lump of something on the other, let's say gold.
Sure.
Well, if you're operating under the assumption that they should weigh the same, well, you just put a variable known as your thumb on the scale and hold it down.
You know what it reminds me of? It's kind of like before we could do like autopsies or like open people up and watch their organs work. It's like, how does a heart work? I don't know. Fucking ghosts. That's what dark matter is. It's just the cosmological version of ghosts did it.
Yeah. I mean, it's never really sat well with me because it's like, if it's out there, we should be able to detect it in some way other than it being just echoes of,
yeah, just and gravitational effects on things.
Dark matter, for me, occupies the same space as God.
Oh, wow.
So
you don't even...
It's just...
You need proof.
It's there to serve the purpose of how does this work that we think it works.
Okay.
You know, God was used to explain
the origin of everything.
Yeah. Thunder was God. All these processes that early people didn't understand was attributed to the supernatural. And as we learned all these things that, you know, how they happened, became the God of the margins. It's, the ever shrinking, domain.
Here there be dragons.
Yeah.
No, I gotcha.
But dark matter kind of feels the same thing in that it's something we don't understand, and therefore it's an unknowable.
Yeah, I'm gonna start calling it space ghost.
There you go. Yeah.
Space ghost.
Dark god.
Yep, dark god. It sounds like I don't know, a version of God that dresses like the crow.
Yeah.
And then that Stone Temple Pilots song starts. Oh, boy.
Yeah, Vaseline.
Oh, God. Flies in the Vaseline we are. Anyway, that being said, if they were to prove dark matter exists, me and Mike both would be like, okay.
Well, we look like idiots.
We look like idiots, but, look, just because we don't like it doesn't mean it's not real. Again, back to the do your own research thing. We're not going to deny facts if possible. Unless it's Bigfoot, then I'm denying all the facts.
Bigfoot's made of dark matter.
Yep.
Which doesn't exist.
Yep. So, since we don't have David, I'm going to do my second story, and then we're going to take an ad break, and then we're going to come back to yours and do some questions, and, of course, Phantoms and Monsters Theater. So, let me go ahead with my next story here, Mike.
No. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. This is from the New York Post, and they're also, in this article, they're citing The Sun, as a source. So this is already a nesting doll of questionable origin.
The sun as in the newspaper, yes. Not the sun as in the actual yeah. sun.
No, the Sun US, which is still run by the Sun UK. So, again, New York Post, Ronnie Rees, article came out March 5th, 2024. I've been sitting on this one, waiting for a weekend weird. Bizarre, three-fingered alien mummies are real and contain unique DNA, filmmakers say. Filmmakers say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So, a pair of filmmakers documenting a new set of, quote, alien mummies? Almost said mumpies. Anyway, a new set of alien mummies. I did it the fuck again. Alien mummies found in Peru, which is why I kept saying mumpies. Anyway, found in Peru, claim the bizarre three-fingered aliens are the genuine article containing unique DNA as they fight back against scientists who say the specimens are clearly dolls made for tourists. Filmmakers Serena DC and Michael Mazzola told the U.S. Sun that they are documenting two mummified aliens that are different from the ones found in Peru that made headlines last year with a pair, you know, the tiny ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are bigger. With a pair aiming to present their, quote, incredible evidence at a news conference in West Hollywood, California on March 12th. I'm going to have to look up the follow-up to that. Sharing new images of the four-foot-tall figures, the duo claims x-rays and examinations show that their subjects are not fake, and while they might not be extraterrestrials, they could be evidence of a new species affected by genetic manipulation. Which, who did that? Aliens?
Humans?
Yeah, okay. Quote, there's a big story that has huge implications that could really just change the humanity story. That's English. Serena told the outlet, quote, it's akin to finding Jesus' shroud or the Ark of the Covenant. We found that. It was fake. The Shroud of Turin. That was a fake thing. Much like controversial journalist and UFO enthusiast Jose Jaime Maussan, who has previously promoted other alien mummies found in Peru and brought to Mexico, Serena and Mazzola said an analysis showed that their figures had 30%, quote, unknown DNA. As they touted their documentary, the pair also blasted scientists and the press over reports dismissing the alien mummies as a hoax after Mexican lawmakers held a hearing on the subject. The greater scientific community has slammed the specimens as fake, with Peruvian officials also stating that the figures were just dolls fashioned from human and animal parts. Quote, they're not extraterrestrials. They're dolls made from animal bones from this planet joined together with modern synthetic glue, said Flavio Estrada, an archaeologist with Peru's Institute for Legal Medicine and Forensic Sciences, during a press conference in January. Quote, it's a totally made-up story, Estrada said. Officials at the Lima conference speculated that the dolls could also be mutilated Peruvian mummies, but dismissed any notion that they were extraterrestrials. DC and Mazzola said the discovery of the mummies have been unfairly discredited, as they hope their documentary will push scientists to take the specimens seriously. The data coming out of Peru is extremely compelling and deserves to be replicated by scientists willing to do actual science instead of playing PR games, Mazzola told the Sun. You know, the filmmaker with a movie to push?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally unbiased.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that these mummies are way more impressive than the itty-bitty ones.
Oh, yeah.
That dude brought to Mexico. But I don't buy any alien mummy stories coming out of South America or Mexico because it has the stink of just shysterism. You know?
Yeah.
Especially if you're plugging a movie and just slamming all scientists. Just fuck them. if I found alien mummies, I'd be like, I don't know. I need this analyzed by, like, real everybody. People. Yeah. I want every scientist to look at this. Tell me what I have. And then it turns out it was bought in a market somewhere in Mexico, and it was built by little Felipe. Might be grandma. I don't know. But, again, it's much more impressive looking mummies. Like, it actually kind of looks like a gray a little bit.
Yeah.
With, like, three fingers. Which, you know, if you know your Roswell, they did a good job doing the three fingers. They show x-rays, and they're actually pretty fucking cool looking.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to have to look up the follow-up information for that at some point. Maybe for the next Weekend Weird, I can bring that to the table. So, Mike,
mm-hmm.
Alien mummies.
Yes.
I mean, do they piss you off as much as they piss me off, or is it just like a, shake your head and move on kind of thing?
I think it's the latter. It's, you know, it's doesn't, like, get my goat. It's just kind of like, what are they doing?
Host What's wacky. Wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty damn sad, really. I don't know. It's I don't know. I thought we were done with alien mummies after the last ones.
Yeah.
You know? But, again, this is more impressive. Like, you know, like my Bigfoot plaster cast, I would not mind having one of these in the house. Which, I gotta find my Bigfoot plaster cast.
Oh, yeah. You
did. Yeah, the one I got at the Bigfoot Festival. Which, again, it's one of those things where I'm not going to insult anybody, but, like, there have been stories I've heard about people buying the one Bigfoot cast and then taking it away and turning around. The dude, like, looks around shifty and pulls another one out and sets it on the table. Like something out of a Kids in the Hall sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's my story. Any thoughts here, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have a whole lot to say. I mean, you covered it pretty well. It's freaking.
It's animal bones.
Yeah,
it's grandma
mummies. It's creative taxidermy.
Yeah. Also, I mean, like, if you change the mouth up, it could be a chupacabra. Put some spines on it. I wonder how you would go about making one of these, though. Like, for real.
Same way you make a jackalope.
But, you know, the jackalope is taxidermy. This has, like, meat and stuff.
Well, it's still, you know, similar things.
Yeah. It's more like a Fiji mermaid, I guess. I don't know. It's dumb, though. It's incredibly dumb. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more content right after this.
Hey there, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're probably into cryptids and monsters. Well, if you have a creative spark, you can always join us in our first ever Supernatural Selection zine project. For 2024, we are doing cryptid encounters, where you can draw or write a encounter with a cryptid of your choice, and we'll put it in the zine. The current submission window is from early January to late June. If you're interested in finding out more, you can always go to supernaturalselectionpod.com/zines. That is Z-I-N-E-S. Now back to the show.
Hi everyone, this is Kevin from Supernatural Selection. Are you an independent creator? Do you have a webcomic or an Etsy store? Do you 3D print things? Or are you just looking to get some word out for your Discordian cabal with social terrorism? Well, we'd love to help. And David, I believe you've got some details about how we can help.
Why, certainly, if you go to supernaturalselectionpod.com/contact, that is supernaturalselectionpod.com/contact, you can learn how to advertise with us.
That's right. I believe the rate is $2 per episode. You can't beat that with a stick.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, we've tried.
Yeah, that's cheap. That's literally cheaper than dirt.
Mm-hmm. And best of all, if you're not sure how to write an ad, we'll do it for you. We'll even record it.
Absolutely. Just let us know what you need in the ad, and we'll be happy to do that for you.
And again, that URL is supernaturalselectionpod.com/contact.
And now, back to the show. And we're back. All right. So, how you feeling about the news this week, Mike?
Fine, I guess.
All right. Cool. We've got a cat outside that our outside cat has convinced can come inside and is trying to come in, but is also terrified of us.
Yeah, terrified of people, so you know, that would not work out well.
Yeah, no, that'd be fucked up.
Plus, we have too many cats already coming inside.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, one is enough.
Well, I mean, we have two cats inside.
Yeah, we have two cats inside and half a cat, sort of.
Two and a half cats, the new sitcom from ABC.
Or CBS, whoever.
Or Cat BC.
Yeah. So, Mike.
Yes.
What have you got for your next story?
Well, this comes via Gizmodo.
Ooh.
And it's seismic rumble from an alien technology meteor was actually a passing truck, scientists say.
Oh, God damn it. I remember that article about the...
I knew you would.
Fuck.
In January 2014, a meteor entered Earth's atmosphere in the western Pacific, as evidenced by apparent vibrational signatures of the event in a seismic station in Papua New Guinea.
Is this a guy that found bits of it?
I think so. Last year, scientists declared rubble recovered from the ocean floor as the rejectamenta of that event, and some even speculated it was a form of alien technology. But now, another team offers a different interpretation. The vibrations were caused by a truck on a nearby road driving by the same time the meteor plummeted through the atmosphere. What's more, the rocky bits found in the Pacific floor were not from this meteor, the team concluded, which likely entered the ocean about 100 miles from the original search area.
God damn it. Can I just say, I think it's poor form to not mention the name of the guy that said it was alien space bits, because he keeps doing this.
Yeah. Maybe they will later in the article. We'll see. If not, you can look him up.
Yeah.
Quote, the signal changed directions over time, exactly matching a road that runs past the seismometer, said Benjamin Fernando, a planetary seismologist at Johns Hopkins, who led the research. The study will be presented next week at the annual Lunar and Planetary Science Conference in Houston. So this was from March 8th, so this has already happened, the conference. Quote, it's really difficult to take a signal and confirm it's not from something, Fernando added. But what we can do is show that there are lots of signals like this and show that they have all characteristics we'd expect from a truck and none of the characteristics we'd expect from a meteor. Meteors are chunks of... Well, we know what a meteor is.
Yeah.
They're chunks of space debris. They enter the Earth's atmosphere.
They do that.
They come in many shapes and sizes and can clue scientists into the history of the solar system and the origins of water on Earth.
Yeah.
The largest of this century was the... that's a word I can't say. Chelyabinsk meteorite.
I don't know, Mike.
Over Russia in 2013, shattering windows, setting off car alarms.
I remember that.
And injuring about 1,600 people. It's spelled, so to put it into perspective, it's spelled Chelyabinsk. Chelyabinsk.
Chelyabinsk.
Yeah, just say it like you're a Russian. I'm not going to say drunk, just Russian.
Just Russian.
Not all Russians are drunk. Not all meteors are totally foreign, though. Last year, a group of researchers studied a meteorite that landed in the Sahara Desert in 2018 and concluded it actually originated from Earth.
Okay. That's
an interesting story. I might have to, because there's a link to an article, I might have to like read that sometime.
Yeah. By the way, the guy's name is Avi Loeb, and he keeps doing this. This is not the first time he's made this claim.
Didn't we talk about him before?
Yeah,
when this happened.
Yeah, well, when this article made the rounds again.
And we talked then how he's definitely a one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
Initial analysis of the meteor fall was concluded with data from the nearby seismometer Aumanu on Papua New Guinea's Manus Island. That analysis, published in September 2023, concluded that the meteorite was of interstellar origin and fell into the ocean just north of the island. So there's no sighting of the meteor. It's just all from seismometer.
It's all
data.
Hearsay.
But in the new paper, Fernando's team relied on data from sound stations in Australia and Palu, the originally built to detect the tremors of nuclear tests. That data indicated that the meteor likely fell over 100 miles from where the initial searches for the space rock were conducted. Oh, okay, so maybe there was a real meteor, but seismometer readings from this truck threw off the expected location. I see.
Okay, all right. And then dude claimed he found bits of a ship. Okay.
Where he looked where the seismometer data pointed to where it should be. Quote, localization of the strewn field is reliant on a single station and a signal with no clear phases, the researchers wrote. Therefore, we consider it to be at best highly overstated, at the worst extreme, entirely erroneous.
Wow.
Avi Loeb, a prominent Harvard researcher and prominent proponent of the idea that the interstellar object Amumumau may have been an alien probe, speculated that the recovered bits of spherical rock could be alien technology, but that the material is not related to the 2024 fireball based on the recent team's numbers. Quote, whatever was found on the seafloor is totally unrelated to this meteor, regardless of whether it was a natural space rock or a piece of alien spacecraft, even though we strongly suspect it wasn't aliens, Fernando said. A team led by Loeb will also be presenting their findings, which characterize the composition and potential origin of the 850 spherules in next week's conference. So they'll be competing presentations. One, it's alien technology. Here's what we found. The other is, nah, dog, it was a truck.
Yeah. This is, wow. You know, I don't know, man. I get pissed at Avi Loeb because of this shit. He's kind of given a lot of the researchers a bad name by doing this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of paragraphs, but they basically rehash what we've talked about.
Yeah, it's a truck.
There
was a meteor, but like the truck threw it off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just wow. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, God. I don't know, dude. I don't know what to say. For some reason, I'm just at a loss. I feel like, I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah.
It's never a spaceship. It's always a meteor, guys. All the way back to Tunguska. Roswell was, you know what? We'll get into that when we do that episode. I got thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you for that, Mike. I'm glad we had a follow-up to a previous article. I always love when we have those.
Yeah.
So, Mike, it is time, once again, for everyone's favorite segment of the show, Phantoms and Monsters Theater. Mm-hmm. Hello and welcome to Phantoms and Monsters Theater. I am Lord Kevin of Beef Wellington, and today we have from Phantoms and Monsters. This article was from February 24th, 2024, and I'm sad David's going to miss this one. Before we start, Mike, are you familiar with the concept of the not deer?
As in every animal that isn't deer is not deer?
No, there is a specific cryptid called the not deer.
Does it have like knots in its antlers?
No. It's a deer. Well, no, it's not a deer. It looks like a deer.
Oh, I know. That's Bambi's mom, right?
No, that's a dead deer. There's
that's
a
an ex-deer.
Yeah. A not deer is basically, you know how deer have eyes on the sides of their head?
Yeah.
Okay, a not deer has the eyes facing forward like a predator.
Sure.
A predator animal, you know, not prey.
The pre-deer.
Like, I'm pretty sure I posted pictures of it before, but just a second before we really get going. I'm going to find a picture of the... All right, Mike. What I'm about to do is... Here we go. I'm going to send an image...
Through the ether.
Something like that. Yeah. Damn it. All right. Control C. I'm going to post this in the host talk.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an artist representation of what the not deer looks like.
That just looks like a BoJack Horseman character.
It doesn't look like, okay, it looks unsettling, but it also looks stupid.
I don't know. Isn't this furry art?
No, anyway, so the article from Phantoms and Monsters. Witness followed by canine-headed not deer in Tennessee's Appalachian Mountains. So once again, big shout out to Darth Plato up there in Tennessee. And Conti just walked right in front of the monitor. All right, so a former Appalachian Mountain resident describes his encounter with an odd-acting and strange-looking doe while hiking in the mountains near his home. I received the following account. And since it's from Tennessee, I'm tempted to not do the southern accent.
Yeah.
I have heard a story about the not deer from two summers ago. That's not going to work. I have a story about the not deer from two summers ago. I lived deep in the Appalachian Mountains in Tennessee at the time, unlike the foothills I'm in now. I was wandering in the woods, probably two-thirds of a mile from my house at that point, as one does. He also has does, so I almost said one does. One does when they live 2 miles down a twisting dirt road with the nearest town and therefore things to do 30 minutes away when I heard the bush moving. I knew it was probably a harmless animal, a possum, or a deer, maybe a particularly destructive rabbit. And I turned to look. It was a deer. You could have just stopped right there.
Yeah.
Yep. It was about 30 feet away from me, staring. Wild deer don't stare at random people. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, wild deer stare shit all the time.
I have had a deer stare my ass down.
You like move near a deer, and their first thing you're going to do is freeze, pick their head up and stare at you.
Uh-huh. Wild deer don't stare at random people to begin with. They just run away. Nope, they do eventually, but this doe was breathing hard and making a low rumbling sound. Like purring? Is he saying the deer was purring?
No, it was like rumbling, kind of like a cam Chevy 350.
Oh, wow. Has it got a Hemi? I didn't really know what to do, and I hadn't really thought about the dangers of going near wild animals, even if they were, quote, harmless deer, so I went towards her. Like an idiot. I swear to God, this thing's eyes blanked out, and it took a couple jerking steps forward. Moving really strangely? And I flinched, and then she ran off to the side while staring at me until she was about 50 feet away. It was deeply unsettling in a way that I can't explain, and I know that that thing was not quite a deer. I sprinted all the way home. I would say that the joints went the wrong way. What? The bends were not where the bends go. Yeah, you know, the bends of a deer.
Yeah.
Mike, you're well familiar with the bends of a deer, right?
Sure, they bend at the, like, neck and maybe the legs.
Yeah, I think we call those points of articulation. There's a lot of them nowadays as just opposed like to the G1 deers.
Had 4 or 5 knees on each leg.
Yep, just made out of knees. And the shape of the face and head was wrong. More in the shape of a dog. It was just very odd looking, and the way it reacted to me was disturbing. I started to walk away. You said you ran.
Yeah.
I started to walk away, but the doe followed me for about 2 miles on the trail. It stayed at a distance of about 50 feet. After about 45 minutes of this, she suddenly disappeared. I have family that still live in the mountains, and they have described a variety of strange things. But the not deer is one phenomenon that they don't like to discuss. H. Okay. I sprinted all the way home, or I walked away, and it followed me for 2 miles. Which is it?
Yeah.
So, Mike,
mm-hmm.
You will admit that, as stupid as it looks, if you saw a deer that looks like the photo, it would freak you out. Like, if you saw that, like, for real, you know?
I mean, I guess if it was close enough for me to be sure that that's what it actually looked like.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that 30 feet is good enough, but nonetheless, like, imagine for a second, you woke up and standing in the corner of your bedroom is Grimace from McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stupid, but you're going to lose your shit because there's a Grimace in your room. But nonetheless, I can kind of understand, but also this guy might need glasses and not know it because it is a South and we're kind of bad about health.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's our Phantoms and Monsters. Thank you for that, me. God, that was awkward as hell. So, Mike, have you got any, like, do you have, like, a segment you want to do or anything before we move on to the next bit?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. No. All right, well, that's fine, because for the first time in ages, man, we have got some questions for the show from our listeners. Now, before we go into those questions, if you would like to have your question read on the show and answered by us during a Weekend Weird, you can get in touch with us using the email team@supernaturalselectionpod.com. You can join our Discord and post your questions in the questions for the show channel, or you can hit us up on Mastodon or on Blue Sky with a #SupernatPod. And we would love to answer your questions as best we can. Now, we have a small backlog from actually back in February. Man, it's been a bit. The first question is from Man in Black. What news feed do you use to get your news? Mike, where do you get yours normally?
So, a lot of stuff comes from Gizmodo because they're kind of a general kind of news site. I can't really say. Like
Slashdot,
I get a lot from, because their weird stuff pops up on there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two main ones, but I just come across them on general, like, you know, in general, just like some Discords. People post weird stuff. I'm like, oh, that looks like a good, you know, Weekend Weird subject or come across it in a forum, just that kind of stuff, really.
Yeah. Me, it's usually from, like, they'll do, like, a news article where it's got, like, 10 different news things from mysteriousuniverse.org. Or a lot of times I'll find something from Reddit. Or occasionally I'll just search weird news and see what comes up.
I've done that before.
Yeah, I think all of us have.
Like, oh, crap, we're going to record in half an hour and I got, like, one story. I need to come up with another one.
Yep. Yep. I'm not sure about David. He probably has a mixture of a lot of those. He may also follow some hashtags, which I try to, but, like, it's tough, especially on Masto. The user base isn't what it was when we first really started getting on there, and I'm pretty sure it's because of the rise of Blue Sky and Threads, and I kind of hate that because I love Masto.
So you like to Masto?
I Masto all over the place. So, because there's an app. So thank you for that, Man in Black. Thank you, Eric. Next we have Ghost Forge, as always. His first question of the night. For all the hosts, which you and me tonight, Mike.
Yes.
What book series do you want to read but do not have the time or money to get into? I'm going to say One Piece, and I know that's kind of fudging it, but, like, I would like to read the manga, like, go out and buy the physical manga, but, like, goddamn, son, get done with it. As far as books go, I don't know, maybe all the Brandon Sanderson stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've read a lot of Sanderson stuff and have a few books I've been meaning to get to. So if, I guess that's one I don't have. I can't say I don't have the time for. It's just it's harder for me to, like, buckle down and read stuff the way I used to.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Well, part of it's work, part of it's gaming, part of it's this show.
It's just general laziness and distraction with my phone. Really.
Yeah.
The phone takes over the
reading.
I got nothing else to do except what I brought with me, and I have a book with me.
Yeah.
Space.
Nope. Totally understand that. Now that was from February and March, but
I'm trying to think if there's any series I just haven't gotten into just because of how much there is of it.
I mean, it's not like really. We're going to... Yeah, there's not a lot of big, huge book series with a lot of books in them that we...
I don't really have any interest in, Martin.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
Trying to think of any
A Song of Fire and Ice, whatever it's called. Yeah, no, I'm not down for that at all. I do want to read the... oh, my God, I can't remember the name of the book. I can pull it up on Goodreads real quick. Mike, you think of something else?
I don't know. Stalling for time. Mike, stalling for time. Because Kevin's looking something up. Mike, stalling for time.
Sorry. Goodreads is being a dickbag right now. Jesus Christ. They were in there. Where the hell did they go? Want to read? The first book in the series, it's... Books by David Wong. It's Future Violence and Fancy Suits. It's post-apocalyptic and kind of funny. It's I can't remember the full title of the second book, but it's Some Girl's Name Punches the Future in the Dick is the name of the second book.
Okay.
And, I just haven't had time to read them because I keep reading stuff for this. So next question is from Gingerpocalypse. If cryptids had socials, what would their usernames and content be? I say we go with, like, say, three cryptids. Let's go with, like, Bigfoot.
Mothman.
And Chupacabra.
Well, Mothman would be Butt Daddy 5000 and be nothing but butts.
Really? I figured Mothman would be like Lamp Lover 69.
No, it's butts. He likes
butts. Remember? I know he does. I know he likes butts, but
he cannot lie.
And it'd be so his name would be Butts, and he would post butts. Bigfoot would probably be Sweaty Men's, at Sweaty Men's, and his content would pretty much be all macro nature photography.
Yeah,
I think. Like, you know, people, oh my God, these are so great. And Bigfoot sitting in a cave with his mobile going, you know?
Yeah.
So, Chupacabra.
Freak
Nasty 111. And he would have been banned already for the 6 shitty posts.
Yeah. It just have a lot of bad things to do with goats.
Yeah. It'd either be Freak Nasty or like that one truck driver we knew who went by the name Buck Naked. Yeah, Buck Naked.
I mean, it'd start out with just like, you know, yelling goats compilations.
Oh, it'd start out funny to lull you into a sense of safety. And then it's like that joke, you fuck one goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for that question, Dentropocalypse. Next is from Nahua. I always stumble over that name. It's Nahua. And they ask, would cryptids have popular OnlyFans?
I mean, probably not. It depends on your definition of popular, I guess.
Like, you know, a lot of users and make a lot of money.
Probably not.
I don't think several would.
I don't think any of them are like classically pretty.
Well, I think Bigfoot would, you know, like, I think, you know, he's kind of a bear.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, dudes don't do well on OnlyFans. Okay. What I'm saying.
Mothman.
Maybe.
Because we don't know a Mothman's a man. That's just the name they gave him. Maybe
Bigfoot just posted pictures of feet.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Feet, maybe? And I think Mothman would definitely have, like, you know, like, you'd never see the face, but it'd be putting on a leg show, and, like, you know, it's just a sausage fest. Grays, man, I don't even want to know what they'd be into on theirs. I don't think anybody would watch Grays on OnlyFans.
Yeah. Sounds a little horrific.
Yeah, same with Chupacabra. Now, is there a cryptid you can think of offhand that you would check out their OnlyFans, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, the I can't remember the name. From The Ring.
Oh, Hidako?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of freaky. Maybe. So yeah, thank you for that one, Nahua. Next we have Fryhide with, what if ghost lights are just the way aliens communicate and they're really, really frustrated we haven't figured out the whole observing photons thing yet? Well, I guess we're stupid if that's what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be enough rhyme or reason to it to be a method of communication.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's one thing that I didn't talk about in that episode, is there have been sightings of ghost lights prior to, in fields prior to the appearance of, crop circles. But there's also been some links to electromagnetic disturbances with crop circles. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird there.
Well, it's kind of hard when two old British men can make electromagnetic fields along with the crop circles they've been making.
Here's the thing. What if it's the electromagnetic field that's drawing the old men to it? I gotcha. So our next question, again, from Ghost Forge. If aliens conquered us but did not attempt to exterminate us, how do you think they would do it, and for what purpose?
One, to stop us from being, like, just taking our shit out into the universe.
Oh, you mean like a quarantine?
Yeah. be like, you know, hey, y'all just chill. Just chill, man.
We don't want y'all out here.
Yeah, you're gonna like fuck shit up if you get out there. So, you know, just chill here.
We don't like y'all.
How
would they do it?
I mean, just like all they have to do is like put up some like space lasers that would shoot down anything that tried to, you know, make it past a certain
the Earth Moon system.
Yeah, something like that. Or even just, you know, outside of the solar system. But the closer in you make it, the less, you know.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, the Oort cloud. Just plant a lot of lasers all over the Oort cloud.
Way too much space to cover.
Yeah.
But around the Earth, it's more manageable.
That's true. Now, my response is, jokes on you, Ghost Forge, they already have. And for the purpose, one, butt stuff. Two, they want our souls. Allegedly. Right, yeah, Mike?
No.
See, that's the thing. A lot of times it's like, but why do they do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole...
There is like a whole theory that it's because we have souls and they don't.
That's just, you know, human centric.
It kind of is, yeah.
But it's the whole like, why would they enslave us, you know, to mine whatever bullshit the author came up with when, you know, there's way more of that anywhere else in the universe.
Yeah, there's got to be something sexier than us.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you've seen some of the renditions of aliens. Maybe they're just like, they see us and like, wow, they're really hot. So.
Well, okay. Compared to a gray or a mantis in particular, yeah we're pretty
then again,
hot.
There's the, if they already have the Nordics, why would they need to come down here?
Yeah, well, maybe they like variety because all the Nordics are tall, beautiful blondes.
They want some imperfect.
Oh, God, they're negging. You'd be pretty if it wasn't for the fact that you have a nose. God, I hate that.
Yeah.
So we got another question here from Benji Bear. Benji Bear and I used to be on a podcast together called Key Party. And he asks, could there possibly be gay aliens out there? Or galians, in other words? And Benji asks because of personal interest, you know.
I'd have to say that probably most aliens are gay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with like almost exclusively.
I wouldn't say exclusively, but, well, you know.
Ghost Forge responded to that with, I'm pretty sure aliens don't have a concept of straight. It's just whoever's hole looks pretty.
Oh, so they're Romans.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty accurate. And David responded to Ghost Forge's comment with, quote, does my ovipositor fit? Can it be made to fit? Which I thought was fucking funny. And then Benji replied to that with, please let mine be pretty enough. So, honestly, if there's one thing we've learned, Benji, is aliens love butt stuff. So... I think they're ass play enthusiasts, and I don't think they're gender biased. They'll take anybody. So you're good.
Any port in a probing.
Oh God. So got another one. Oh, this is from Darth Plato. This is kind of a fun one. Nightmare cryptid blunt rotation. Like you're passing the duchy on the left hand side, right?
Yeah.
What's the nightmare rotation for this? And I've got an answer. I thought about this. I don't care who comes after me.
Mm-hmm.
I just know I don't want Enrique and the Loveland Frogmen before me.
Yeah.
Because once they get a hold of them, I'm bowing out because they were described as being covered in a hint of mucus.
Just a hint of
mucus. Just a hint all over
frog
the body.
Frogmen with just a hint of mucus.
A hint. But I'm not token after the frogman.
You don't want a mucusy bong.
No, dude, it's gonna get the paper wet.
Well, is it a bong or is it a joint?
It's a joint. He said blunt rotation.
Blunt rotation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna like
they're just gonna put it out then.
Yeah.
It's gonna be sopping wet.
Yeah, they just basically pass what looks like a wet sausage over to you going,
"Alright."
Yeah. It's like, "Well, thanks, fucker, Enrique. You fucked up the joint. The joint?" Yeah, that's mine. Mike, who do you not want to pass you?
I'm going to, so you're talking, just think about physical, like, things. I'm talking about who would I not want to get, like, really high.
Oh, with.
Yeah, or just, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. If I'm getting high, I'm probably going to be okay with most cryptids.
I don't know. Gosh, I can't really even think of any.
Just one that you wouldn't want to get high with. Probably the goblins, right?
Yeah, because they'd just like be doing all kinds of weird shit the whole time.
Oh yeah, man!
It'd be like, you know, tumbling and bouncing all over the place, and
like I picture like getting high with them, and then they do like some kind of weird ass violent Oompa Loompa.
I'm gonna say it'd be like getting high with Oompa Loompas, except
armed.
Worse,
armed with knives, basically.
They're just tumbling and, you know, chanting and mm-hmm. giggling everywhere, and you're like, yeah, wondering, am I gonna die now?
Yep. That's a good one. I like that. He then asks, or inverse, dream cryptid blunt rotation. And that's Bigfoot. Just, you know, he's a chill dude.
Just chilling with Bigfoot.
And like puts his feet up on the coffee table and you're just high going, damn it, some big feet, man. You got big feet.
They should call you Bigfoot because of your big feet.
And then he just laughs because he's high.
Yeah.
Have you got another, like, what do you think? Who would you want to get high with?
I don't know. This is hard for me because I don't like get high that often, especially with people.
I know.
I've never like done that before, so.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to get high with me because while they're tripping, they'd have to trip sit me. But, yeah. Well, thank you for that one, Darth Plato. I appreciate that. And then we have a question from Mr. David Davis. Mike.
Okay.
If you could be a ghost for 24 hours, what would you do?
I can't legally talk about that.
What? What the hell? What? Okay, there's a lot of questions there. I already know what I'd do.
Huh.
Oh, I would haunt Congress and just see how many heart attacks I could give those geriatric old fucks. That's it. I would just haunt the halls of Congress for 24 hours trying to off the shittiest lawmakers.
Okay. I mean, I was just talking about, you know, dumb things like, you know, go haunt a like girl's locker room or something.
Oh yeah, no, I figured. Yeah, that makes sense. I could see that. If I were younger and single, sure.
As dumb and, you know, juvenile as that is.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, for some reason, mine is always like terrorism.
Or, you know, go bop over to Area 51.
You know, I thought that too. Area 51 or look at the Kennedy files or something.
Yeah, just any top secret areas.
And the question is, can you teleport? Because, like, if you can, you know,
say you woke up and you're, okay, let's put a limitation on that, Kevin. Say you woke up in the morning, whatever you normally wake up, and you're now a ghost, and you know, somehow just know that it's only going to last for 24 hours, and you... Let's say with the caveat, I guess since you're on the Earth and not getting spun off, you can ride in vehicles,
mm-hmm.
but of course you can't choose where you're going.
Okay.
So you can't like call a cab or anything. So,
but say, you can hitch a ride.
Yeah, but you getting to the airport seems like a physical impossibility. Okay.
So it'd have to be here in town.
Yeah, because think about it, you'd have to somehow find someone that just happens to be going to the airport as well.
Okay. I would make one of two politicians that are in this city's life a living hell. You probably know who. One's on the city council, the other one runs the state.
Yes.
No names. But I would make their lives a living hell. That's what I'd do. Believe it or not, Ghost Forge answered this question. Oh, yeah. Actually, before we go on to that, Mike, you, same limitations. What do you do?
I don't know.
It's a locker room again, isn't it?
Yeah, I like to think I wouldn't be that creepy, but, you know, I can't think of anything else, like, you know, what I do, just, like, go.
You could fly.
Yeah, which probably, you know, only fly at, like, a little bit faster than walking speed, so.
Maybe. I don't know. I always thought ghosts could move a little faster if they wanted. But then again, I've been that's from watching Casper.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything. Oh, well, how about, so what could I do with information? Is there anything I can learn?
Apparently after the 24 hours, you become human again. So.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to think if there's anything I could learn that I could, like, make money with, or I don't know. I can't really think of anything.
Okay. Well, Ghost Forge answered the question. He said, hang out in the board meeting room of a Fortune 500 company and eavesdrop info to use for day trading.
Yeah, see, that's what I was trying to think of. But if it's local, I can't think of anything that would really, I don't know. Find someone rich and learn their PIN number.
Ooh, there you go. I like that plan.
Then get caught trying to steal their money.
Been caught stealing. What? Wow. Anyway. Yeah, no, I could. Yeah. You'd get in trouble for that. I could see that. Again, I just haunt politicians because I'm a petty, petty man. Well, that's kind of sad. Anyway, thank you for the question, David. Can't wait to see you next week. So, that's it for this week, Mike.
Okay.
So, thank you everyone for listening. As far as plugs go, check out David on social media. It's at HP Comic, HPKOMIC on Blue Sky. And I don't remember his thing on Mastodon, but you can find a link to it on our Mastodon, which is at SupernatPod. At weirdo.network. So, don't forget, you can find everything you need to about the show at supernatpod.rocks. That is supernatpod.rocks. You can find a link to our Discord, our Patreon, our YouTube channel, all the fun stuff, and a complete back catalog of all of our episodes, including this show and the Distraction Hole. You can help support us every month, and we also have a store with t-shirts, so be sure to check that out on the website. Again, supernatpod.rocks. Mike, do you have anything you want to plug?
No.
No? You're good?
I'm good.
You're sated?
Yes.
All right. Mike is sated. And I am, too. We're talking about doing some slight schedule changes and when we record the show, so it might change up where Distraction Hole lands in the feed, but it will continue, and we'll figure more out about that later. But anyway, again, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. If you feel inclined, leave a comment on Spotify or on the YouTube channel, or just drop us a line, team@supernaturalselectionpod.com. We'd love to hear from you. And we try to read comments on the show when we get them. So, we will see you guys next week for the next episode of the show, whatever that happens to be. So, until then, stay safe and stay froggy. Goodbye.
Good night.
Mike, you gonna go play Helldivers?
Of course.
Yeah. That's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, I might stay up for a little bit and not play Helldivers.
Okay.